I never did make up my mind which was the worst, summer or winter, though, because it was so hot in the summer and so cold in the winter.
Mr. Man, wasn't that cold. Working on that steel, golly, it was awful cold.
Because welders, you had these leather bib overhauls, and you had the leather jackets, very hot. I sweat so much that you could wring the water right out of those. And as you come out, I think you could drink 2 quarts of water.
The shipyards were in operation around the clock, every day of the week, all year long. Workers were on their ships regardless of the weather. And being out in the open next to the ocean or down in the hold of a ship with welding equipment made for extreme and sometimes uncomfortable working conditions. Welcome to the Homefront Veterans Oral History Project. WMPG and Portland Harbor Museum collected 35 interviews with former workers at the Liberty Shipyards in South Portland, Maine. I'm Stephanie Philbrick, and in this edition, former shipyard workers talk about the working conditions in the Liberty Shipyards during World War II. Winter could be especially brutal when working on the steel Liberty ships. The winter of 1942 saw temperatures as low as 40 degrees below zero. Frank Bonville, Gene Robbins, and Nicholas Davis remember.
You talk about layers. You wore layers. You didn't wear one pair of pants. You wore long johns in the wintertime, heavy boots and heavy socks, and probably 2 pair of pants and coveralls and jackets and sweaters and gloves and mittens and whatever you could to keep warm. And then there was always scrap lumber. They would take a barrel and get a fire going in that.
It was wicked. As I say, it was 40 below zero some days. Of course, then we couldn't work because you couldn't weld on the steel. See, they were about a half an inch thick, and the heat of the rod would have split the steel, so we couldn't work. So we had the choice. We could go home or we could stay. So we'd go in the shacks, you know, get warmed up. So we stayed because if you stayed, you got paid whether you worked or not.
I remember one time we came to work in the morning and the night shift had welded this deck plate right across the whole deck of one portion of the ship. And it was so cold that night that it cracked the weld and it contracted the steel so bad that it broke away and they had to, replace it.
And then in the summertime, there's no protection. If you were working in the sun, you worked in the sun. Anybody working in the sun, out of the wind, there's a lot of them that had sunstroke.
Working at the shipyards was a noisy, dirty, and sometimes dangerous job. Even after 60 years, former workers have vivid memories of the working conditions. Malcolm Lyons, Gene Robbins, and Gloria Stover recall.
Oh, I'll tell you, it had a sun. I don't know. That may be the trouble. I wear hearing aids now. See, the whole ship was metal, and I'm telling you, when you get jackhammers and you get people welding and different things going on, and it's almost undescribable. It's something like a train that wasn't blowing the whistle but just went by.
Did you ever take pieces of steel and hit them together? Well, you try it to find out what the noise is.
It was very noisy, and I have to say I was a little timid about going down in the bottom of the ship because it was pretty black down there. And I worried more about what we would inhale down there because when you chipped off the weld, we wore masks, but I can remember my saliva being black when I worked there.
My name is Robert L. McKinney. I was a welder in the South Portland Shipbuilding Corporation. Some of the welding was in the inner bottoms, they called it. And in the inner bottom, you had these transverse bulkheads. I'd have to put one shoulder through at a time, and you'd get way up in there. Sometimes you'd be the only one there at night. And you'd get up there and be welding, and then somebody would unplug your trouble light, or they would unplug your welding rod. Well, then you'd have to crawl way out of there. So what you learned to do was take a flashlight with you when you went up in the inner bottoms. If you didn't have the flashlight, all you could do was to hang on to the, either the cable or the your light and just feel that back until you got back out of there.
I'm Franklin Emery, E-M-E-R-Y. I was in the welding department, and you climb in, and you got to bring in this long electric lead line, and you got to bring your box, push that ahead of you with a wire. That's what the rods were called, the wire. And got to have a light bulb, got to have a hose to take the exhaust smoke out. And after you did that, 4 or 5 nights a week, for about a month or two, you get awful tired of being in the inner bottom.
Workers in the shipyard often worked in enclosed spaces with welding or riveting equipment. Having to haul around heavy welding rods or wiggle their way into the inner bottoms was just part of the challenge. Besides cuts, bruises, and smoke inhalation, welders faced a special hazard. They had to be sure to keep their eyes down and not look at the flashes of light caused by other welders. Doris Burney and Gene Robbins recalled the painful results from looking at the light without protection.
You see, your hood had colored glass in what you looked through. But if you looked at somebody else's with your hood up, that's how you got the flashes in your eyes. And it burned the liquid out of them, and it was just like having both eyes right full of sand when you got them, if you got a bad one. I only got them once. Once was enough, because you couldn't see.
And that's what you had to be careful of, to be sure and not get the flashes. If you should at least get a little bit of the light, your eyes would water all night long when you got home. I'd get home, you know, and my eyes would be so sore, I'd didn't want to open them up.
Oh, yes. There were quite a few accidents. You get that many people together, you're bound to be accidents.
Second day I got them, I dropped a piece of steel on my toe. Took the leather right off the front of it. All you could see was steel. If I hadn't had that, I'd have lost 5 toes.
As Frank Bonville explained, steel-toed boots were a necessity, and helmets, goggles, and special clothing were required for many jobs. There were safety rules, and 4 doctors were on staff at the yards for emergencies. The company outfitted a full operating room and x-ray facility on site. But despite these precautions, workers sometimes faced real danger, or even death, as Earl Bennett, Esther Walker, and Robert McKenney explain.
I saw one man get killed on Thanksgiving Day, and I knew of another man that got killed, but there were several that got badly injured.
No, I never was afraid to climb. I did have an experience in there that I wasn't so good after that, because the plank on the staging dropped out from under me. And I automatically reached up and grabbed the steel of the piping above me and hung on until the heater came up and get me.
Pretty dangerous place. These engines in those Liberty ships was just about in the center of the ship. There was a long shaft that went back to the propeller. Oh, I imagine it was 16, 18 inches in diameter, very heavy. And they had these up on steel benches suspended, you know, till they bolted them together. One night I heard something let go or something above me, and I dropped down, and I had my welding helmet on, and that shaft had rolled over, and it pinched my head like that, and it took the helmet off. But I just managed to get my head down out of it and drop right flat on my face. It didn't hurt me too much. It crushed the helmet. You got good money, but you earned it down there in the shipyard.
The Homefront Veterans Oral History Project is a joint project of WMPG and Portland Harbor Museum. This program was produced by Stephanie Philbrick. Funding was provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Institute for Museum and Library Services. In-kind support was provided by the Shipyard Brewing Company. A special thank you goes out to Ted Jordan and his American History class at Cape Elizabeth High School. And of course, this project would not have been possible without the men and women who built Liberty ships during World War II. For more information about this project, or to hear additional clips from these interviews, click on the Rosie the Riveter icon on the WMPG website at www.wmpg.org.